Welcome to Season 1, Episode 6 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about tent-making preachers. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about this topic, so I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. So let's get started. Now, what do I mean by tent-making preachers? This has reference to what Paul did when he came to Corinth in Acts chapter 18. The text says that he came to Aquila and Priscilla in verse 2, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks, verse 3 and 4 tells us. When Paul first came to Corinth, he worked as a tent maker, while also engaging in the work of preaching. Therefore, a tent-making preacher is one who works a secular job to support himself, while also engaging in the work of preaching. This is the type of preacher we are considering in this episode. Remember that God's design is that those who dedicate their lives to preaching the gospel receive full support for that work. 1 Corinthians 9:14, Paul told the church at Corinth, "So also the Lord directed that those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. However, one who preaches may not always, or even ever, enjoy the blessing of such support. Perhaps the brethren cannot financially support a preacher. It could be that the brethren could support a preacher, but they will not because they do not value the work of preaching as highly as they should. Or, as in the case of Paul, a preacher may forego receiving support because circumstances are such that it may actually hinder the cause of the gospel," as he pointed out in 1 Corinthians 9:12. When a preacher receives only partial support, or even no support, for preaching the gospel, what is he to do? If you are one of these so-called tent-making preachers, we're going to discuss 8 things to do as you serve the Lord in that capacity. Number 1, keep preaching. When Paul gave instructions about the Lord's desire for preachers to get their living from the gospel in 1 Corinthians 9:14, he was not writing to a fellow preacher. He was writing to a congregation. Local churches, as well as individual saints, as we see in Galatians 6:6, should see to it that they do what they can to support those who have devoted their lives to proclaiming the word. Those who preach should simply preach the word, as 2 Timothy 4:2 says. While there may be nothing wrong with a man actively seeking support for his work in preaching, he ought to continue to preach even if he cannot devote himself completely to the word, as Paul would later do after receiving support from Macedonia, as we see in Acts 18:4 and 5. But he should continue preaching even though he cannot devote himself completely to the word due to a lack of support. Though preachers today are not divinely called to preach as the Apostle Paul was, they should have the same willingness to offer the gospel without charge, as he said in 1 Corinthians 9:18. Number 2, work to support yourself. When Paul was first in Corinth, Luke recorded that he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks in Acts 18:4. During the rest of the week, he was busy working as a tent maker while he stayed with Aquila and Priscilla, Acts 18:2 and 3. It was necessary for Paul to work to support himself because he did not receive support from Corinth. Even after the congregation was established, he told them that I preach the gospel of God to you without charge, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 7. So he worked to support himself until he received support from Macedonia that allowed him to devote himself completely to the word, Acts 18:5 says. He told the brethren in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 11:8 and 9 that I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. That's what he referred to when he talked about what he received from Macedonia. This was not the only time Paul worked to support himself. We know he did this in Ephesus, as we are told in Acts 20, 33 and 34, and in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 2:9 and 2 Thessalonians 3:7 through 9. He told the Thessalonians that his work was to provide an example to them, as he gave them this instruction, "If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either," 2 Thessalonians 3:7 through 10. Preachers are not exempt from this rule. If full support is not there, a preacher is still responsible to provide for himself, even if it means working night and day, as Paul said he did in 2 Thessalonians 3:8. Number 3, make the most of your time. Paul told the Ephesians to make the most of your time because the days are evil, in Ephesians 5:16. This admonition is certainly applicable to all Christians, but it is particularly important for those who must juggle the work of preaching with secular employment. There's simply no room for laziness, procrastination, or fruitless endeavors by one who must work to support his preaching efforts. This means that a tent-making preacher must be extra diligent in his work and be willing to sacrifice many of the hobbies and forms of entertainment that others are able to participate in so that he can do the work of preaching. Number four, manage your other responsibilities. It is not always easy for one to balance his responsibilities as a preacher, preparing to teach, doing this through studying the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15, and teaching itself as he's told to preach the word in 2 Timothy 4:2. This is done both publicly and privately, as we're told in Acts 20 and verse 20. Juggling these responsibilities with his responsibilities at home to love, nourish, and cherish his wife, as he's told to do in Ephesians 5, and to raise his children, as Paul said in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. But it becomes more difficult when the responsibilities of secular work are added on top of these. Colossians 3:23 says, "Do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men." And Ecclesiastes 9:10 tells us that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Yet the responsibilities remain. Therefore, a tent-making preacher must be diligent to do the best that he can in his circumstances and fulfill the responsibilities that he has while also preaching the gospel. Number five, recognize your limitations. In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, the man who was given five talents and the man given two talents both doubled their master's money. When the master returned, the man who obtained the five talents was not praised more highly than the second man, and the man who obtained two talents was not criticized for not gaining as much as the first man. Both were judged according to what they did with what they had. This principle was stated by Paul in 2 Corinthians 8:12. "For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has and not according to what he does not have." In other words, God will judge us based upon what we are capable of doing. Each one of us only has so much time in the day. When one has to work, sleep, and take care of family responsibilities, the time he has to devote to his work in preaching is limited. Certainly, diligence is necessary, but for one who is engaged in full-time secular employment, do not try to do everything that a fully supported preacher is able to do. It is simply not possible to do it. And if you attempt to do it, eventually you will burn out, become ineffective, or at least less effective in your work in preaching the gospel. Number six, avoid jealousy and bitterness. It is common for men and women to be jealous of others or bitter toward them because of some unfairness, either real or perceived, that has resulted in the lives of others seeming to be better than their own. Yet Christians are to avoid this attitude. Jealousy is listed as one of the deeds of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 and 20. The Hebrew writer warned Christians not to allow any root of bitterness to spring up and cause trouble among them in Hebrews 12, 15. We are told by Paul in Philippians 4, 11 and 12 that we are to be content in all of our circumstances. We are to rejoice with those who rejoice, Romans 12, 15, not become bitter against them because we are jealous of their lives. The same is necessary for preachers, particularly those who must work to support themselves. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians about the right of preachers to be supported, he compared himself and Barnabas, who were not being supported, with others who were. He said, "Do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of our Lord and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working?" 1 Corinthians 9, 4-6. It may have seemed unfair for others to receive support while he and Barnabas did not. Of course, that was not the reason why Paul mentioned this. He was reminding them of their responsibility, not complaining about any unfairness against himself. But those who work to support themselves in preaching must have the selfless attitude of Paul, rather than becoming jealous of those who are fully supported for their work in the gospel, or becoming bitter against other preachers or against brethren who are not providing support. Number seven, give the brethren no cause to look down on your work. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he told the young evangelist, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe," in 1 Timothy 4:12. Later in the same context, verse 15, he said, "Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all." Why would some brethren possibly have looked down on Timothy's youth? It was because his youth could be a potential weakness in his efforts to proclaim the gospel. Timothy was not to allow this potential weakness to become a legitimate reason for criticism of his work. In the same way, holding down a secular job is a potential weakness in one's effort to proclaim the gospel due to the necessary commitment of time and the physical and mental energy that must be expended. While it is true that secular employment makes for an unfortunate distraction to a preacher's primary work of teaching the word, a tent-making preacher must be diligent in his efforts in the kingdom to the degree that he is able so that his progress will be evident to all, 1 Timothy 4:15. Number 8, fulfill your ministry. In his final admonition to Timothy, Paul said, "But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry," 2 Timothy 4:5. This came immediately after Paul warned Timothy that in the future some would not endure sound doctrine and would accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. Those who would preach a message that people wanted to hear would be rewarded by the people, often in the form of financial support. If Timothy was to preach the word, as he was told to do in 2 Timothy 4:2, when it was not popular, he would naturally have a difficult time acquiring the support that he should have, as Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 9:14. But regardless of this, he was to fulfill his ministry anyway. Preachers must recognize the great responsibility they have to preach the word in season and out of season. Even if the message is unpopular and unsupported, it needs to be preached anyway. Though circumstances may be different, tent-making preachers share the same responsibility as fully supported preachers. Be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, 2 Timothy 4:5. Being a tent-making preacher is not easy, but it is doable. It requires diligence, selflessness, and good time management. It also requires that one recognize his limitations and work within the realm of what he is capable of doing. If you are faithfully serving the Lord as a tent-making preacher, I hope it is a temporary situation so that you can one day devote yourself completely to the word, but whether that happens or not, I hope that you will continue preaching regardless. The work still needs to be done. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about preaching and writing. Until then, I hope you have a great week.